Not too long ago, I was out for a walk and I saw a young married couple sitting together. They were leaning towards each other and talking. I couldn't hear what they were saying, but they were deep in conversation and both seemed to be enjoying it. Every now and then they would smile or laugh, and they looked like they were the best of friends. Together, let's look at the importance of communicating with each other.
Welcome, friend, to Women of Hope. Today we're talking about communication. Isn't it fun to spend time with a good friend? I love to sit and chat about all kinds of things. I wonder, what do you like to do with your best friend?
When I was a teenager, my friend would come to our house and we would talk for 1 or 2 hours, or even more sometimes. She would tell me every single detail about her life, but especially about her boyfriend. She wasn't very good at listening to me, though, to what was happening in my life.
That's important, isn't it? To listen. And it's the same whether it's your marriage partner, another member of the family, or your best friend.
Or even when you're talking to someone who you don't even know very well yet. Having a conversation is like sharing, isn't it? You have to take turns.
Today we have a couple visiting with us, Peter and Susan. They were having some difficulty communicating with each other.
That's a pretty common problem, even with a couple that has been together for a long time. Today, they're going to tell us their story and how they learned to communicate better.
Well, here's our story. Peter and I have been married for 25 years now. We got married because we loved each other, and our parents approved. Our first years together were happy, enjoying each other's company. The next few years, I was busy bringing up our 2 children, working in the house, cooking, cleaning. You know how it is.
And I was busy with my work, earning money, providing my family with their needs, and a home.
And I was excited to make that home, making curtains, placing the furniture, enjoying cooking for our young family. But something was missing in our relationship as a husband and wife. I didn't know what was going wrong. We just couldn't seem to communicate well with each other anymore, and we only seemed to really talk when we had to make a decision regarding the children or our finances.
I started getting irritated at small things like, why are those kids making so much noise? Why are things so messy? I'd work hard all day, and then I'd come home to chaos. I lost my patience, and then I started shouting at Susan.
Yes, indeed. This was not the Peter I had married, who seemed to have endless patience and respect for me. He had changed, but I had changed too. I'd started sulking and crying over small things in order to get my own way. I blamed Peter for everything that went wrong, since I didn't know what had happened to the Peter that I married. This wasn't good for our relationship, nor was it good for our children. A close friend suggested that we get help from a marriage counselor whose name was Ruth. Ruth asked us, "What do you think's going wrong in your marriage?" And I started by pointing out Peter's faults, blaming him. And soon we began to argue and fight right in front of her.
Ruth suggested we meet her separately for a while so she could listen to both of us without the other person interfering or getting angry or upset. After meeting us separately a few times, she called us together and said, "You both need to learn to communicate with each other. Really talk to each other and openly talk about your feelings." She said that problems, fights, and disagreements in marriage will start when you stop honestly communicating with each other. And I knew she was right.
Well, Ruth asked me, "How do you feel about Peter?" I gathered my courage and began to talk about things that had been bothering me for the past few years. For example, when Peter would come home from work, he'd just sit down somewhere and fall asleep. I'd been waiting all day to talk about the things that our little family had experienced. I needed him to tell me what I was doing for the family was important and well done. I needed him to get involved in our lives when he was home.
Well, I said, "Susan, why didn't you tell me this before? I didn't know that I was bothering you. I thought you didn't like me being at work for so long or something like that." I'd been finding it difficult to express my emotions and really talk to my wife. Susan had got really busy with the housework and the children. I felt that she had started to neglect me. When I tried to talk to her, she'd just interrupt me. She just wouldn't listen. She was always too busy telling me how she felt.
Well, and then I asked Peter the same question. Why didn't you tell me this? Why didn't you tell me how you were feeling? He said it was because I wouldn't let him talk, and he was right.
Ruth explained to us that we didn't know one another because we were holding back and refusing to share our true feelings.
Well, I felt I had a good reason to hold back. I didn't want to start an argument. And I was also afraid of Peter's anger. Sometimes I could just feel that he was upset about something. And if I asked him about it, he would just say, forget it, and walk away.
I really didn't want to hurt Susan or complain about small things. I'd been working hard all day. I just wanted to relax when I got home. But Susan would have so many things she wanted to talk about that really didn't seem important to me.
Well, I needed that special time with Peter, I felt. Gradually, we started covering up what we really thought and felt. Ruth explained that refusing to discuss disagreements or differences of opinion had become a way of life. Now there's a huge, invisible wall between us.
But I have to admit, the first step Ruth asked me to take was really tough. She told us that when there are problems, both husband and wife must be willing to admit that each one is part of the problem, and both must be willing to change. In my mind, I was the patient and quiet husband. Susan had tested my patience and provoked me. And when I would start shouting, she'd start crying. I had to learn how to express my feelings without getting angry. I also had to learn to be honest without being unkind or accusing. I also had to learn to be honest without being unkind or accusing Susan of doing the wrong thing.
It was really helpful when Ruth told me to avoid saying emotional words like, you don't really love me. I mean, I was quick to argue with Ruth. I said, but it's true, Peter has changed. He's stopped loving me and caring for me. But she was firm, and she said, you are responsible for how you allow yourself to feel, what you say, what you do, and also how you react to your husband. Don't blame these things on Peter. I really didn't like Ruth telling me this. It hurt my feelings. But Ruth firmly and gently helped me to handle it. She taught me to face the truth, my real feelings. Then she asked me to determine ways to express those feelings gently without blaming Peter. It was only after I learned to take responsibility for my own feelings that I was willing to accept that I had faults too. I had to learn how to be a good listener. Ruth said, listen first, and then to make sure you understand, repeat back to Peter what you heard. He will tell you if that's really what he said. After that, if Peter came home stressed from work, I would just let him relax and enjoy our home and wait for a better time to talk.
And I learned to apologize to Susan. I certainly didn't mean to be hurtful or rude.
Sometimes now when we think back, we laugh about some of the foolish things we used to say to each other.
We've asked for forgiveness from each other, and we have forgiven each other.
Yes, thanks to Ruth's help, we've become good friends again.
We have a lot of fun together now, and we talk together about all kinds of things. We've learned to share our lives and to share our feelings. We're best friends now.
You're listening to Women of Hope. It's good that Peter and Susan learned how to share their feelings with each other, isn't it? Many people have the same kind of difficulty, don't they?
They do. And if they don't get help from someone, they may never learn to communicate in a positive way. That's when couples sometimes decide to separate or even divorce each other. They think there's no way out.
Do you remember what Ruth said to Peter and Susan? It's very important in a marriage to listen to each other, to talk honestly with each other, and to take time to share your feelings. And Susan said she had to learn how to be a good listener. It's not always easy, is it? Some of us like to talk about how we feel, but we're not so good at listening to how the other person feels.
You know, it's the same with God. God wants to hear what's on our hearts. He wants us to be honest with Him and tell Him exactly how we feel. But we also need to listen to Him. He talks to us through His Word, the Bible. That's why we come here to share with you what He says in His Word. Today I want to tell you a story about two sisters, Mary and Martha. One was a good listener and the other was not. Let's picture the scene. This is how it might have been. It was a quiet day in the little village. Martha was very happy and may have been singing as she swept the floor. Occasionally she chatted with her sister, Mary, who was mending some clothes. Martha may have decided that there would be just the two of them and their brother Lazarus, and they would not cook that night. She was planning a very easy meal, just some leftovers from lunch. But then through the window, Martha saw Jesus and his followers coming down the road. She probably rushed to her room and changed into her best clothes. Then she commanded Mary to put away her sewing and tidy up the room. After all, this was not just a neighbor coming for a visit, but a very important person. She straightened her hair, and she rushed to open the door, and she gave Jesus a big smile. Here's the story from God's Word, the Bible. Martha was pleased to see Jesus and welcomed him into her home. He sat down and started talking. And even though there was a lot to be done to prepare the food, Mary, her sister, sat at Jesus' feet, listening to what he had to say. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing, and she became upset with her sister, so she interrupted them and she said to Jesus, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." Jesus looked at Martha and gently said to her, "My dear Martha, you're worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." That's the end of the story from God's Word. So let's think about that story for a moment. What kind of food was Martha concerned about? Yes, she was very keen to make a very nice meal for the special guests. Was she doing the wrong thing, do you think? I don't think so. There was nothing wrong with wanting to make a nice meal. So I wonder what was wrong. What do you think, Tammy?
I think Martha was beginning to feel annoyed with her sister. She was so busy, and yet her sister was not helping. And she probably started to think Mary was just being lazy and selfish.
I find it interesting that Jesus says, there is only one thing worth being concerned about.
I agree. Martha was concerned about physical food, wasn't she? Jesus meant that Mary was learning from him. She was receiving spiritual food.
Then Jesus says to Martha about Mary, it will not be taken from her?
That's right, Carol. We learn from Jesus and receive spiritual food, food for our soul. No one can take that away from us, can they? It goes deep into our hearts and it stays there. Can you imagine sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to him talk about spiritual things? I think any thought of physical food would be gone at that moment, wouldn't it? And I wonder if he asked Martha to leave the food preparation for a while and sit with them to learn more about him. God has many things to teach us, too, just as he did with Mary and Martha. I wonder if we are too busy to listen. Just before Jesus went back to heaven, he told his disciples that he would send the Holy Spirit to be their comforter and their teacher. When we believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives in us and teaches us about God and helps us in our daily lives. And he wants us to talk with him and share our happiness and our pain.
A friend of mine told me about her pain and how God helped her through it. This is what she said. Our first baby, a son, died at birth because he was born 10 weeks too early. We were filled with sorrow. When I prayed, it felt like God was silent. Then I remembered what the Bible says, that the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings which cannot be expressed in words. I was then able to relax in God's presence, knowing that He cared for me. He knew our sorrow, and He would carry us through. I wonder what's causing pain in your heart today. Maybe God wants you to sit at His feet and learn from Him, just as Mary did with Jesus. He wants you to tell Him how you feel in your sorrow and your pain. He's there, and He's listening. He's always listening. He doesn't ever take time off or tell us that we have to wait until a more convenient time. Maybe you need to come to Him right now and ask Him to bring you comfort and hope. Let me pray with you, and you can join me if you'd like to. Father God, thank you for what we've learned today about Jesus and how He cared for Mary and Martha's feelings. Thank you for caring about how we feel too. I pray for my friend who is coming to you today to share her feelings with you. You know what's causing the pain in her heart right now, and you can take that pain away. You can bring her comfort and hope. Please do that for her now. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Just before we go today, let's hear from one of our friends who found comfort in bringing her pain to God. Here's a part of her story.
Hi, my name is Saya. I'm a widow with two children. My daughter and I make bracelets from thread and sell them in order to make a living. My daughter is 28 years old, and she is handicapped with her arms and legs, but she is able to make the bracelets. It is such a hard life for all of us. Sometimes we have food to eat, and sometimes we don't. But we have God, who is our strength and encouragement.
Yes, even when she had no food to eat, she finds strength and encouragement in God. We would love to hear from you. The email address is twrwomenofhope@twr.org. Have a great week filled with God's blessings.